Mr. Wilkinson, Reel 8. You said that prior to the Greeks arriving, there'd been a French force there.
That's right. Now, they were funny people, good soldiers, mind. But they used to wear anything for uniforms, and they used to use any arms that they had. They would use artillery. They were infantry, but they would use artillery, or they would use German guns, British guns, or whatever they had. But they were good. You could rely on them, because if they went in, they stayed. They did the job. Now, for some reason or other, they left, and we got the Greeks. Now, the Greeks, I didn't see much of the fighting. But I do know that sometimes we got in with them, and we'd get to eat some of our food. Everything was mixed. But I don't remember much. I don't think we did any fighting, really, but not then.
So you moved up from the southern area up to the north for Operation Supercharge, which was the brigade attack along with the Scots.
That's right.
To punch a hole
Scots
in the line.
Was on our left.
What are your memories of that?
Well, we went up, and the carriers was first. They were just in convoy. And it was stop, go. Now, my job then was to guard the sappers lifting the mines. So I went along, and anyway, the Mad Robbo jumped into my carrier, and I had to go in the back, you see. But then he threatened to kill the driver.
Well, why was that?
Because he stop, go. And anyway, I lifted the rifle off the back, and I says, "Hit him and you're down." But anyway, gun and paddy went away. He went away, you see. And we carried on, and we were moving up with the sappers. And the sergeant in charge of the sappers says to me, he says, "We haven't hit a mine for 40 yards. He says, "I think we're through." And this was before the barrage.
Main attack.
And anyway, I says, "Well, fan out and see what's on the side of it." I says, and we just stopped here. Well, we just stopped, you see. What I didn't know was there was a blooming anti-tank gun right in front of us. So I think they'd been going to give themselves up. And I stopped, unfortunately. Got the driver to stop. And next thing I knew, I'm listening for the blooming sappers. Whoop! There's a big flash. Put a shell right through the driver, into the back end of the tanks, and set the tank on fire, set the carrier on fire. So I had jumped out, you see, and I got back, I leaned over and got a rifle with a bayonet attached, and from behind the driver, because we always kept one there, you see. And anyway, I went and I ran at this tank pit, and there was three men in. So I killed them all with a bayonet, and I kept on. And
stabbing them, kept on stabbing at them.
Yeah, and eventually then there was the barrage.
Were these Italians or Germans?
Well, there was two Italians, I think, and a German officer, a young German officer. And I left the bayonet in one because I had to release it and take the bayonet out. And anyway, from there, I wandered about. I went forward, but by that time, the barrage had broke. And well, the creeping barrage was lifting every 25 yards. And anyway, the barrage started, and it all lit up. It was like a dull daylight. And I wandered about, and later on I came across a tank that had been knocked out, and they were just sitting at the back. Keep out of the way.
A British tank. Just before we go further, you said Mad Robot threatened the driver because he stopped starting. Hadn't he realised that following the sappers, that was the kind of pace you were doing?
Well, he was drunk, you see. But I shouldn't put that in there.
Well, I mean, that's okay. If that's the situation.
Yeah.
So he'd got himself a bit intoxicated, and then he was in and out of the.
Well, I don't know what he'd do. He was the wrong sort of person to run away. He'd be there somewhere, but he wanted to be first, and I was in the front.
You were in the front.
Yeah.
And he was still S Company commander at that point.
Yes.
And you don't know what happened to him after that during the action itself.
No.
So the infantry must have been coming through then, following the barrage. And did you join the infantry?
Yes, but I don't know where I went. I just went anyway because I was on my own.
What were conditions like? The barrage opened up, and could you see? Was it flinging, dust up and what have you? Was that a problem?
No, that was no problem. It lit the way for us. We could see what we were doing. There was all those guns firing, and they all fired sort of at once, And
must have been a tremendous thing. It was a huge bombardment, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that particular one.
Frightened the life out of you when you first started.
Did you think that nothing could live under it?
Yes, but they were there. It's rather strange. You get a barrage like that, and you think, they'll never live through that. And yet they did. As soon as the barrage lifted, they were there. I know it killed a lot, but it didn't kill them all. They're still there. Some of them were bomb happy, but quite lucky was able to fire.
And were these in trenches, slit trenches and what have you?
Yes, they were the same. They were just the same as us, really.
And you had the Scots on your left. Could you hear them going into action?
I could hear them. I could hear their wounded shouting, yeah.
Had the pipes, were the pipes playing?
Yes. Pipes. Yes. After that, I can't remember a lot, but I had a psychiatry board because somebody had reported me, I think.
What for? What did they report for?
The way I killed them Germans, and I wouldn't leave them, you see. And they must have been high-ranking medics, two of them, and they were asking various questions.
Where was this?
I don't precisely know. It was after the Alamein battle.
And you were taken out.
Yeah.
Were other? I mean, all right. There was that particular incident there, where, as you said, you kind of went a bit mad with the Italians and Germans. Were there other incidents following up that showed that your stress was getting to you?
Well, I don't precisely know, but anyway, what happened, they said in their deliberations, they'd come to the conclusion that I'd be better off in the Pioneers. And what I said to them was this, I said, I'm an infantry soldier. I says, if I can't fight with the infantry in the regiment that I'm with, I says, then I think you should send me to Blighty. And the next day I was back in the line. So I don't know what conclusions they drew from that.
Do you recall what kind of examination they gave you?
Well, they were just gentle people. They were just they were asking various questions. And
do you recall any of the questions that they were?
Not really, no. You see, I'd no understanding of what they wanted. I'd no understanding of who they were. But I found out that they were, checking on me.
Do you think they discovered your age? Because I mean, even at this point, you're still only 18.
Well, I don't know. I don't think anybody knew that I was. You see, I'd never made a point of telling anyone. So I can't think how. And you see, they didn't tell my mother and father. They said they couldn't find my details. And I was over 19 then when they found that out.
This was later on, was it?
Yeah.
So you were sent back to the unit again? As
yes, sir.
Checked over and just sent back?
Gone back as normal.
And did you go back to S Company again?
Yes.
And the mortars?
Just as normal, yeah.
And by this time the actions were all over and the division was out of the line. And
yeah.
Do you recall what happened? This would be, what, November again? November, December, 42?
No, I can't remember very much from then on.
When's your next memory come in?
I don't precisely know.
They spent quite some time back in the desert, and then they made their way gradually forward.
Yeah.
Spent quite a while outside Benghazi. Do you recall that? Where they were training and...
Yeah.
Do you recall that time?
No, there wasn't a lot that I could remember from that.
And then gradually moved up in the up to the March of 1943 when you went to the Marath. Were you still with them then?
I was still there, yeah.
Have you any memories of that time?
I have of Marath. No. You see, we went in with the idea of getting the New Zealanders round the drugs. So we were told we had a lot of information on that one. We were told that there was 3.5 divisions there in that line. We were told that there was anti-tank ditch, and there was 2 forts, I think they said, and that there had been some rain, and there was 8 millimetres of water in the ditch. Now, when we put the attack in, you could see from the Germans could see from my way, we could see as well, like, but we were looking up and they were looking down. You see, and we went forward.
Now, do you recall the actual moving into the forward into the attack? The conditions, yeah. You were going, there was minefields, no doubt, to pass.
Yeah, but you see, it's rather funny. You see, then mines were easier to lift. See, you see 3 prongs sticking up for your S mine. You weren't worried about telemines then, because they had to have poundage on top of them to, but a man wouldn't, then couldn't set them up. But you'd set these anti-personnel S mines, as they call them. There would be 3 prongs sticking up. Now, it may seem funny to most people, but no mind. What we used to do, we used to stand on them. Let them go up, and they used to jump up, and they used to lie down and where roughly where they'd been, and let them explode above it, and you'd get through them that way.
You'd have to be pretty precise in that.
No, they were easy then. But what happened was, this was for later on, the Germans put pull and push igniters on the telemines, so that either you tripped a wire or you stood on it, and you saw these 3 on the push igniters, you saw these 3 things sticking up, you thought, that's mine down. Not for very long. Because what happened was, it was on a telemine. What we thought was S mines, and I'm sure that's how Worrell lost his life, but Captain Worrell. But we used to do this, I think it's fun, probably, you know. But it was great, seeing them go up and just lying down.
Anyway, you were going into the attack, and that's where I was trying to see if your memory can recall that actual moving through.
Yeah.
Where would be your carrier? And
well, we went in front for a while, and then the lads went past us. But what we did, we knew that the lads would be shut down for the simple reason that the jetty could see them plainly, because you're walking up the bank. So we put some HA forward, and then we put some smoke forward.
Was this a day or a night attack?
It's a day, yeah. And this was during the day when the lads was going up. And what happened was that we put smoke in that so they couldn't see the lads. But then the lads was fighting, and they were in the trench in the anti-tank drop. They were in there, and they were getting hammered. Jerry was just throwing grenades at them, and we lost quite a few men. But for some reason or other, I don't know who gave the order, even if I know what it was given. But we were sent down the Morris Line because the guards, the 3rd Brigade of Guards, was putting an attack in to go to Morris Village. Now we were sent to take their positions while they advanced. Now we took over their positions, and the Lieutenant Colonel of the Coldstream Guards came to me after the battles were over, and he thanked us for burying his dead, because we had gone in the minefield and lifted a lot of his dead out. And anyway, he thanked us for that, and from there we went down to to prepare for the Sicilian invasion.
Do you recall what the Marath position was like? Where the you said the Germans were above you, but what kind of positions were they in?
Well, there had been, but I don't. You see,
you didn't see them. Is that?
No. I did see them, but what I can't understand is the amount of damage done to the forts, because them forts was badly smashed and we hadn't the stuff to do that. So I don't know whether aircraft had done it or artillery or what.
Did you get across the wadi and the anti-tank ditch?
I didn't get past the anti-tank ditch, but I got where I could see the...
It's one of the problems was getting away across them so the carries and tanks could get across.
No, well, I couldn't. You see, I could get so I could see the fort. And as I say, what I can't understand is we hadn't the gear to do the damage that's been done.
It might have been done previously.
Yeah. I don't know, you see.
Did you get to fire your mortars into enemy positions?
Well, I got to that. We fired HE first, and then, as I say, we fired smoke so that they couldn't see our lads. But when they were in the anti-tank ditch towards the end, and I think the Germans had found out the ruse that had been put, and the New Zealanders were around, but they took me out and put me to take over the Grenadier Guards position.
But when you say you, do you mean just your carrier or a number of you?
There was about 4 of us. Only the one carrier, but 4 men. And for some reason, I can't remember if anybody gave the order or what, but it must have been arranged, because the Lieutenant Colonel came in his number one dress and thanked us for burying his dead.
And was that the task that basically you'd been sent down to do?
As far as I know, yes.
Because there's only the one carrier, isn't it?
Yeah. But we'd just been there to take over their position while they advanced. But the unfortunate thing was, as far as I'm concerned, they lost a lot of life without any gain. You see, because I don't know why, I don't know how they work, but the Grenadier Guards went in, and the Coldstream Guards, rather, went in. There was a path up to the village there on the left. They went in through a minefield, and the that the 18 carriers along the minefield knocked out. Because they must have thought about the minefield, and these carriers, I think there was 23, went forward, 18 of them in a straight line was knocked out.
You watched this, did you, from your position?
Yeah. No.
Now, from there you said that you were pulled down to prepare for
the
invasion of Sicily, so that would be back to the Delta. Mm-hmm. Do you recall the journey back?
No, at all.
What happened then?
Well, we just went back. The next thing I knew was the... I know I had to fit some stars there, but we went on the invasion of Sicily, and everything was arranged, paratroopers and commandos and what have you, and where we were to land. But the only thing was, the paratroopers got a hell of a beating.
Do you remember the landing, the actual going into landing, which was pretty scattered because of the weather and that?
Well, you see, it was a bit of a storm anyway, but when I landed, I was washed out. See, I drove out, you see, and down, you'd think it was a hole, like, but anyway, the carrier broke down, it was wet, soaking, you see, stuck it to the waves that gone over the top of it. So somebody pulled us out, and I tried to get it away, I tried to take the engine to bits, but no success. So what I had to do, I had to join them, because more than the original intention, if the paratroops hadn't lost so many men, if they hadn't lost them in the drink, then and some of you, it made us that we had a force march about 20 miles.
That force march is what you say. Was it a fighting one?
Well, just little steps, no. It was.
Have any memories of any particular incidents on the way through to Primosoli?
Well, just we had enough one or two of us. You see, there was on the sides of the road there was trees, you know, like woods. And when we came to Primosoli, the bridge was there, and the left side was all wood. And apparently the headquarters, we never saw it, the headquarters was further over there, behind the wood. And the shallow part of the river, although I've seen bigger than the streams. But anyway, going on the left, you had two advantages, because you had the trees to go through and you were partly hidden. You're getting cover on that side, you see, on the left side of the road. And on the right side of the road, before the river, there was 200 yards of open ground, fields. This is what I can remember. And then there was scrub on the other side, and there was a, I don't know if it was a house or a human blockhouse or what. But anyway, there was a house there, and there was an 88 up there. So where the Germans come through was up inland from the bridge. And we went in there. Now, there was a couple of snipers up here, and just past the 88. Now, I came here and there was a jerry in a trench there, the only trench I saw then.
No, just across the river?
Yeah. He was, 40 yards or so in land. So, I don't know whether he was frightened or what, but he wasn't firing. But I got him, and then
how did you get him?
Shot him. And anyway, that was that.
Were you moving forward as part of an infantry company in support?
No, I was more or less on you, and I wasn't with any company in particular because my role had gone, because me and Carrie was out of action, you see, and I just had to follow where.
So you had your rifle with you, no, presumably.
Well, I took me whatever I could kit with me.
And there was no platoon sections around you, close
no.
to you.
But what happened anyway? I got this one, and then I got the other two snipers there. I walked across there to see that they were dead, right? And there was about 16 dead here, Germans. And I don't know who killed them, like. But anyway, I got the three that left us clear, and there was a, just to the left of that, there was a, what they call a hearing, but all it was a stack of hay, 6x6, and about 2 foot high. And they say that they were nearly all on fire, but I never saw any on fire. This one was a whole one. And anyway, I'd gone across to see if these two snipers was dead or disabled. And there were, and there was about another 16 dead here on the road. And anyway, I came back up to the bridge using cover as much as I could. But it was dark, like, so anyway, comes along back to the river, and I goes along here.
Is that along the bank side?
Yeah. There was trees, just a row of trees along the, you know, like there's most streams. And then there was a wood on the other side. But I came along here with the intention of going forward from there, you see. And anyway, the 16-inch guns from Catania opened up. Now, the reason I say that they were 16-inch, because the first time I've ever been under naval guns.
Were these German guns?
They were high-tide. They were the harbour guns, you see. Now, they had, as far as we had information, was 8 degrees traverse inland. Now, that 8 degrees traverse must have been about 40 yards past the bridge, where the water was not so deep. Now, they fired, and you could hear them fire, and you could hear them like despairs coming over, and you didn't know whether they were going to land in front of you, behind you, or what, because you weren't used to them, we weren't used to them. But anyway, by that time, there's about another 15 lads collected here, and we were walking along here. So, as we were walking along, we heard these guns fire, and then they came. Now, they killed 15, you might think it's impossible, they killed 15 of them lads.
That's all but you?
All but me. And they lifted me off the ground, and there was about 8 rounds coming across there. Now, I was on my own again, so I went forward to that hayrick, and at that hayrick, Jimmy Brown, Sergeant Jimmy Brown of our lot, was there, and he was hit. He'd been hit. And I stayed with him a while, and I went forward. Now, I went to the graveyard, and there was these, you know, I forget what they call them, the houses with the put the dead in, you know,
vaults or whatever.
Yeah, vaults. But anyway, went to there, and then we come back, buried our, they buried our dead. I don't know who had done it, but when I came back, like everybody else, I don't know how it happened, who got it to happen or what, but anyway, we buried our dead with honours, because the colonel had gone, the second in command had gone, a lot of the officers had gone, and a lot of the lads. Now, we came right back to the bridge, and we were relieved by the I think it's London Irish or something, and they had a purple coat. And they relieved us, we came back and we buried our dead. Now, after the parade, we went along, and I could see these lads was all in a grave. I don't know how they recognised him or what, but in there was my cross. I was supposed to be buried there.